Chapter 2. The House That Built Me. I inherited my childhood home in Bunnvale, New Jersey, from my mother. It had been rented for the past few years, but now in 2019 was vacant and not generating any income. I discovered that the tenant had trashed the place, and it looked like it was pretty much a teardown. But as I started to explore it, I pulled down a piece of paneling and saw the wallpaper of my dysfunctional childhood on the wall behind it. There it was, behind the front door in the living room, the wallpaper that was there when my real father choked my mother, and where I stood as a 6-year-old child. I pulled up a bucket, sat down, and began to cry uncontrollably. When I was done, I took a big breath and decided that I couldn't tear it down, but would replace all those memories in the house by making it right. That's kind of where this begins, a year of removing everything in that house and making it right for my mother and me. If you have never done construction, you might not get how physically demanding it is, but at 60, it takes every bit of strength you have to do it. I mean, removing walls, putting in new wiring and plumbing, framing in 20 new double-hung windows, replacing the roof and heating system, designing and installing the kitchen and bathroom, replacing doors, floors, sheetrock, and septic. Finally, completing my new childhood home by painting and landscaping. After almost a year, the house was complete, and quite wonderful if I say it myself. It was now the spring of 2020. I called up an old friend, now a realtor that I had met when I started my first business at 19, and asked her to sell it. Vicky T was very surprised by my call, but it was like no time had passed, and she got right on it. I was confident I was in good hands and it would sell easily. After all, it was virtually a new home and looked nothing like my childhood home. More noticeably, it felt nothing like it. I had succeeded in erasing the memories and making it right, and thinking in some way I was giving my mother the home that she had always wished it had been. The first offer was from an overseas investor, full price, cash, and sounded a bit suspicious. But lawyers were involved, checks were clearing, so it seemed to go. Then a day before the closing, the bank called and said that the money sent was stolen, and the deal was off. This was really a tough blow after waiting more than a month and then having to put it back on the market. So we lowered the price, and within a short time, a couple from California bought it, Nuza and Kevin. They were very excited, and settlement was scheduled to occur in a few weeks. I invited Nuza to come out and stay in the house even before we closed, with Kevin to follow a few weeks later. So during the break of the COVID-19 pandemic, she flew to Bunnvale, New Jersey. I wanted her to feel at home, so I outfitted the house with an air mattress, a small refrigerator, dishes, spoons and forks, some pots and pans, a chair, and other stuff I thought she would need. We went shopping, with masks on, to the local food store and to Califon Lumber to introduce her to the folks that had put up with my daily nonsense as I rebuilt the house. They let her sign her name on their desk along with the signatures of other local customers. We drove along the river road, which is now the place she walks each day for exercise. I took her past my grade school and past the old Wood Glen General Store. I told her the stories about my childhood at every mile of our journey on the roads around the house. I took her to the road above the house to show her what her soon-to-be home looked like from up there. And I showed her the scar on my hand when, as a little boy, I had fallen on a newly cut sapling in a field after my mother told me not to play there. Once they closed on the home, I continued to visit Nuza while she waited for all their stuff to arrive and because she was new at this country living thing. She suggested I remove the microwave, dishwasher, and wood stove since she didn't really plan on using them. I said, no. Please, just live here 1 year and don't change anything. I promise you, everything in this house was put there with a lifetime of thought. She trusted me, and after some time she understood what I meant and learned to love the home as I had envisioned it. The profit from Bunnvale made it possible for me to renovate my other property, a 2-unit apartment in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, and rent it out to provide income for me to retire. But the physical cost of the renovation left me almost unable to walk. I had carried an entire set of kitchen cabinets up a full flight of stairs, installed the tile floor, and 10 boxes of laminate flooring. My body was worn out. Just walking hurt, and I could only drive a couple of blocks before my knees screamed at me with pain. But I had succeeded in achieving my financial goal. It was now winter 2020. During the pandemic year of 2020, my wife and I decided to get a divorce. We didn't fight. We just decided that we both wanted different things for our future, and it was okay. But this was hard on both of us emotionally. And in January of 2021, I was alone for pretty much the first time in my life. Alone. Probably my worst fear, as I had never lived by myself for an extended time. I had always lived with a woman, someone to come home to at the end of the day, or that came home to me when I started working from home in 2001. Someone that helped pay the bills, cook, clean, talk to, travel with, and hold at night. How would I do all these things by myself and not get overwhelmed? But I was debt-free. I had an income and money in the bank. In reality, I was going to be fine, just if I found a way to keep it all together.